you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey there! Welcome to another episode of Star Wars Minute. It's the daily show where we analyze, scrutinize, celebrate Star Wars, a solo story, 1 minute at a time. My name is Alex Robinson from alexrobinson.fun.
My name is Pete the Retailer from petetheretailer.fun.
And I'm Stuart Wellington, one-third of the Flophouse podcast and owner of the bars Hinterlands and Minis, both located in Brooklyn, New York.
Well, thanks for closing out the week with us here, Stuart.
My pleasure, Alex.
And you too, Pete. Thanks for closing out the week with us.
Sorry. My job.
We're here to talk about minute 125, 125th minute of the movie. It starts off with Lando telling Han he knew Han was kidding about Chewie tearing Lando's arms off. And it ends a minute later with Lando starting to poke around for his little cheating device to see if he can find it.
He's looking for something.
This is the big gambling scene. The big wagering about the Falcon or Falcon.
Based on the faces in the room, I'm guessing that none of us had the right answer for what Lando knew.
Oh, yeah. We still have to answer that. Does anyone want to share their answers? Stuart, you are. Guess what did you have? What do you have first there?
What Chewie was saying all along.
He knows.
Pete? What do you have for your answer? Lando said, I knew blank.
He says, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I don't think I thought that was a long shot, but you know.
What was that guy's name? Lloyd Benson. B-E-N-S-O-N, like the governor. I put down, I knew what boys liked. So a big waitress fan there, Lando. Yeah. And so let's get into the minute at hand, shall we? Right.
So where's my cut?
Me?
Yeah. we've been doing this podcast for 9 years now. Where's my cut?
Yeah.
Nine years? That's not bad. That's adorable.
Well, thank you.
This month marks 15 years of the Flophouse.
Wow.
That's nice. Wild.
Congratulations. Nuts.
Do you know how many movies you guys have done? Do you know how many movies you guys have done at this point?
You know, if somebody was good at being a podcaster, they would probably know, but I'm not good at being a podcaster, so I don't know. But no,
I think you're too good that you don't need to know.
Yeah, that's what I tell my therapist. Mm-hmm. It's been a long and winding road.
Wrong show.
And we've only done two Star Wars movies on the show. I think we did Attack of the Clones as part of a podcast jam, and we did an episode on Rise of Skywalker right after we all saw it because we were all fired up.
Well, hopefully we can get you guys back together to talk about it one more time next year.
Yeah. For our classic, like, hour-long episodes. I feel like our Return of the Jedi episodes, I remember when we recorded, because I was like, yeah, we're just recording episodes of Star Wars Minutes, no big deal. I got tickets to see Napalm Death play that night. It's easy. And I missed every band on the bill except for the headliner, which was Napalm Death and was incredible. But I was like, wow, for a big surprise, Elliot can keep talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, we'll let Elliot take the blame for that one because he's not here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where's my cut? We didn't get to that. We were skirting the question.
Right.
But it's pretty bold for Lando to come back after all that and be like, where's my cut?
Well, they came to him, I guess, so.
Hmm?
That's true.
I mean, if they came to him, I guess it makes sense that he assumes they're there to give him his cut of the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a way, they are, because he brought along a cut, right? He brought along
a little taste of the coaxium.
Yeah, a little bit of the coaxium. But they have to gamble for it.
So, yeah, he says the coaxium that he has there is worth 10,000 credits. So as we learned in A New Hope, that's almost enough to buy a ship, Luke claims. And in this case, he's right. It turns out you can get a YT-1000 freighter, the type the Millennium Falcon is. A brand new one would cost you 85,000 credits, but you can get a used one for only 20,000 credits. So basically, Han Solo is asking for half the cost of his ship for the fare.
If you're not considering the aftermarket modifications he's made to his ship.
I'm sure that would be his argument, but you know those things lose value as soon as they fly off the lot. So,
it's a real hot rod and also, of a ship.
Yeah, it doesn't look, you know, Luke immediately thinks it looks like a piece of junk. So probably there's cosmetic issues that would really bring that price down, probably.
Yeah, not a lot of curb appeal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Could this movie have ended without the? Could the movie have ended before this?
Could the movie have ended before this? It's a good question to ask. Minute 125
Did they have to have a scene with Han? Did it have to end with him winning the Falcon, basically, is the question. Or could it have left it?
No. This could have, I mean, even if you leave it for the opening, the first scene of the next movie, film it here, hang on to it for your proposed sequel, which then never would have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something kind of romantic about if the movie had ended with him and Chewie just kind of stranded on this beach planet. Like, there would have been something kind of romantic about the two of them just like, okay, well, how are we going to get out of this one? Like, that to me is more interesting than the tidy bow of him winning the Falcon in a card game.
Then roll credits over Han and Chewie in a little canoe, but they were going in circles because Chewie's rowing so much stronger than Han, and they're just like as we it's like a big kind of, you know, helicopter or shot as we pull back on it, and the credits are rolling, and then we get some
arguing
of that.
A little, and yeah. Chewie's like, no, yowling.
Dude, you go twice on your side, and then just going in circles. We get some, you know, 80s songs to play over it.
I wonder if this was not in a version of the script, because the poker scene here is like a low budget version of the earlier scene. The earlier one had tons of aliens and stuff in it, and this one all basically seems like humans you'd see walking around at Galaxy's Edge. Like, they're just humans wearing, there's like one Twi'lek.
Yeah.
And then there's just like a bunch of people wearing kind of exotic hats and stuff. It seems like a much cheaper version, which makes me think it might have been a reshoot thing that was not in the original one.
Well, let me tell you, let me talk for a minute about two of the people that are there.
Okay.
Do you know any of the characters that are here?
I know none of the characters because they're not in.
One's Lando Calrissian.
Oh yeah, see, 1 point for Stuart. You gotta catch those, Alex.
Sorry, I'm not a nerd. I don't know every Star Wars character in the world.
We've got Wazelman. I don't know.
Sure.
Wazelman. Wazelman. His species, he's a Wickwar. And if I tell you he's a Wickwar, you can guess who plays him.
Warwick Davis.
He
really isn't all over the place in this film.
Yes. And the Wazelman, the Wickwar, is, unsurprisingly, kind of a small guy. He's at the table. He's got kind of four eyes in almost like a hood kind of helmet kind of situation. He's got tentacles sticking out from the side. He's looks almost like a Cthulhu blacksmith, maybe something like that.
Cool.
He's standing there watching it, and we also have an alien called Pride Owly. Pride, P-R-I-D-E.
Mm-hmm. Space.
Space. There's all in space. Star Wars.
Yeah.
A-U-L-L-Y.
I mean, by that logic, every movie's in space.
Yeah, that's right. It's all in space. Come on. Die Hard, Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's all in space.
2001.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pride Owly, A-U-L-L-Y, is one that is looks like it could be a droid, but it's actually a human wearing armor, and the armor is kind of reddish. And it looks almost like a dirty Guavian Death Gang kind of thing. Like a rusty version of that, maybe, but it's an armored human named Pride Owly. Why would I
know this character?
You would know that character if maybe you were going around Galaxy's Edge in Disney, either the Disney parks, and you use the DataPad app. They pop up in the interaction. Some of the interactions that you have there, both of these characters, I think, are involved.
Huh.
So
I haven't been to. Have you guys both been to? I'm sure you've been to Galaxy's Edge. Right? What?
I haven't.
Once, right, shortly after I moved out to LA, before the pandemic started, there was a narrow window, and we went for Life Day with our friend Cassanthi Tan and some other listeners, friends of ours. It was a nice experience. We did Galaxy's Edge. The Rise of the Resistance was not open yet, so we didn't get to do that, but we flew the Falcon. We had some
blue
milk.
If it's open now, the two of you guys need to get in on that.
That's true.
I don't know if you guys know this. You've been doing a Star Wars podcast for 9 years. You should...
9? Oh, boy.
Wait, 9 years?
9?
That doesn't track. I can't.
You know, we were talking about the Han Solo card game. And when I was looking for this
Magic
scene,
the Gathering, right?
That's the one. When I was looking for this scene. I was looking for the like, you know, who are some of the aliens here? So I was like, oh, you know, Sabacc scene and something. And I started Googling. And one of the Google suggestions made me, I'm not going to say sad, but it made me want to hug somebody because I started typing, you know, Sabacc. And one of the top suggestions is, can you play Sabacc alone? And I was like, oh, you poor nerds. I want to hug you. Like, and,
woof.
Yeah.
That's like every time, I've kind of backed off, but there was a while where I was, you know, I was backing a fair amount of, like board game Kickstarters. Mm-hmm. And almost every time there were people that were like really pushing for solo play. And I'm like, I get it. But it's also like, it feels sad now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I get it. And also sometimes you just want to play a game by yourself. Sometimes, you know, but then also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had, you know, definite flashbacks all the cool things that I couldn't do as an only child whose parents were otherwise busy.
Yeah. My wife was an only child too. So she had a similar thing where she has no interest in games as an adult because people would always give her games. Like they'd be like, hey, you got this game for your birthday. And she's like, who do I play with?
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah, my wife said a story is when she was a child and she used to play Candyland by herself. And for some reason, that seems especially sad to play by yourself because, you know.
It's like super like fun town and you're just doing it by yourself.
So,
like playing Mousetrap by yourself. Most of the fun is just setting up that mousetrap, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Really, I dodged a bullet by not having anybody to play Mousetrap with because I got to skip the boring parts.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about the card game.
Well, yeah, that was where I was going with that it suggested can you play Sabacc alone, and I was touched. But then I also started thinking about, you mentioned Magic the Gathering, and I think that's the closest I've come to this kind of scenario where everybody's standing around a table and there's a tense game going on. Because I, as listeners may know, I used to work at Forbidden Planet, and we had a space that for a while was a gaming space, and we used to have Magic the Gathering tournaments, and there were, you know, the kids that were good would sometimes, you know, and like a big tournament that went on for a long time, you'd end up with just the two, you know, head to head at the end of it, and everybody standing around waiting to see what happened. And
winner's table, baby, top table.
Yeah, I think that's the closest I've come to this kind of scenario. Can you guys, Stuart, you play a lot of games. You have to have been in that scenario before.
Yeah, I
either
mean, I've played,
as a spectator or a player.
Yeah, I mean, as a player, I've definitely played in some like Netrunner games that have gotten pretty intense and have drawn some onlookers at tournaments at Gen Con, which is happening this weekend right now.
Oh, wow.
And I've definitely played. One year at Gen Con, I was in a miniatures tournament and we had stayed up. My buddy and I, who were both playing in this tournament with painted models, I think it was War Machine was the game. And we had stayed up all night, like finishing up the paint jobs on our models so we could play with them the next day. And so we were super tired and we were really punchy. And somehow, in luck of the draw, we got each other for the second game of the tournament. And so we were just like, at that point, we're like, we don't care. And we're just like goofing around and making loud noises. And like people, even though we weren't one of the better, like that high in the rankings, people were like coming over to our table because we were clearly actually having fun. Because in a lot of those tournaments, people are like not having fun at all. They are like taking it so seriously. There's guys that are like nervously picking at their fingers till their fingers bleed. And I'm like, this is not for me, guys.
Yeah. Well, it probably helped playing against someone you knew because you could both be,
we could be silly buns and not worry about it.
Yeah. As if you were playing with some stranger.
What about you, Al? You play a lot of games too.
Yeah, I have never, my wife and we went through a phase where we were playing a lot of poker, as I feel like I've mentioned on this show, including at comic book conventions. And my wife is a better poker player than I am. And she frequently got to the final table of the poker match, which was exciting. But the catch was, by the time you got to the final table, it was really late. And so a lot of people had left. And then eventually they're just like, hey, what do you say we just split the pot between us or whoever's in charge? Because a little bit more, but it very seldom would actually play out all the way. Usually you'd wind up just kind of so not quite as exciting as this
scenario. That would be disappointing if Lando and Han were just like, what do you say we just split this, huh?
Agreed to co-own the ship together. You get it on every alternate weekend and
well, it probably works out for Lando because he's got to move it for parking, you know.
True.
So you just take it and then
And so then it pretty much ends with Lando about to resort to his cheating trickery,
which it seems like a really obvious cheating device.
It does.
Yes. It's, you know, it's like the oldest old school style cheating device, but
which, I mean, I guess it did, you know, it had to read as that to us watching it.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense that it's that. But then, like, once he's walking around, like, if he's just like, you know, he's got these big, you know, Ralph Furley wide cuffs that are flopping around and he's like, hey, moving his hand around. So even Han can see it. And granted, Han's looking for it, but it seems like anybody else would be able to say, like, hey, you know, why are you wearing your watch on the inside or something, like, you know, at least calling attention to what that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
He only plays with really bad card players.
Right.
That's
And still needs to cheat.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I feel like for him, cheating is the real game. Like being able to cheat and get away with it is more important than being good at cards.
Right.
That's true.
He doesn't even like cards. He just likes the thrill of cheating and winning.
Stuart, have you played any Star Wars games that you would tell recommend?
That I recommend? I mean, over the years, like, I collected the old Decipher Star Wars card game. I don't remember it being particularly good, but I remember liking it. I like the old Star Wars role-playing game. That was great. I played the more recent one that Fantasy Flight put out, and it was all right. And I do really like, Fantasy Flight put out the Star Wars Rebellion board game, which is a 2 or a 4 player game where one person is the Empire and the other person is the Rebellion. And it does a really good job of getting across that feeling of kind of like the original trilogy where the Empire is trying to find the secret rebel base and the rebels are trying to drum up enough. They're trying to stall the Empire and drum up enough like local support to win the game. And it inevitably leads to some fun conflict and, it features a lot of the characters from the movies. It's like a big game with like miniatures and crap. So it looks cool. You get to build Death Stars and stuff. It's great. So if you're looking for a Star Wars game that's big and flashy and feels like Star Wars, I think Rebellion's pretty great.
Yeah, nice. Unfortunately, the older I get, the less patience I have for games with a million pieces and piles. Yeah. And this is little chips here, and these are coins and stones.
Yeah.
And you know.
It's a modern game, so it is like, you know, it has a bunch of those components, but I feel like it's a pretty fun way. If you have a buddy who is also a Star Wars fan, it's a pretty fun way to kill, you know, like maybe 2 hours, maybe 3.
Just setting up.
Just, well, yeah, that's the thing. Like I don't actually own a copy, but a buddy of mine has it. And whenever I go to play, he'll already have it set up, so I don't have to worry about that part about it.
And then you leave as soon as it's done for him to clean it up.
Yeah,
put it away.
You kind of throw $5 on the table and walk out.
All right, Don. Anything else for minute number 125?
No,
I don't think so. Thanks so much for having me again this week, guys. This has been a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for
coming.
And it also kind of makes me want to revisit this whole movie, so I'll probably rewatch it soon.
It's pretty fun, especially if the stakes are not that high. If you're not expecting it to hold up the, you know, to be the next tentpole in the Star Wars franchise and live up to a legacy and just be like, oh, I just want a fun movie.
Yes.
A little bit like an EU novel come to life. It's this.
Any other things you want to plug, last chance? You've plugged Hinterlands and Minis and the Flophouse podcast, which of course, everyone.
Yeah, one more plug. My wife does a podcast that I'm occasionally a guest on, and I certainly help produce it. It's a show called I Know the Owner, where my wife, who is a longtime bartender and bar owner, interviews other longtime bar people, usually bar owners or bartenders, general service industry people, and they record their show in a bar, so you get a little bit of ambient sound. And they just kind of talk about the business, which, if you're interested at all in the bar business or just people kind of chatting, it is informative and cool.
So it's real inside baseball type stuff, like
It gets a little inside baseball. I mean, they, you know, there's certain things they have to omit, but there's a fair amount of talk about. A lot of it is just kind of trying to figure out where, like, how people fall into the bar business. And it's also fun because she is often surprised, like, all people from all different walks of life end up working in bars. And but there's also kind of like a shared language that everybody has. And she's recorded episodes with bars around the country with people she's never met before. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that does sound cool. And what's the name of it? I Know the Owner.
I Know the Owner.
All right.
Hmm.
Well, Pete mentioned that we're almost done with Solo, A Star Wars Story. We're getting down to the final minutes here. So if you're looking for a podcast to fill that void, that looming void in your life, why not check out either of our two, not companion podcasts, but we do podcasts with other people. I do a podcast with my brother entitled The Godfather Minute. You could probably figure out the structure and subject matter of that podcast. We are currently about 79 minutes into Godfather 2. We're in Cuba, so the excitement ahoy. And so you can find that wherever you get podcasts. Pete, what's the status of ABCDTOS these days?
We wrapped up the original series. That's, of course, that we went alphabetically through all the episodes of Star Trek, the original series. And now we are slowly, maybe one a month, we're doing the original cast movies in alphabetical order. So we just released an episode about Star Trek, The Final Frontier, Star Trek 5.
That was the first
Final
one.
Frontier, that's first.
Okay.
And it'll be followed by Motion Picture under M. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
What was the consensus on Final Frontier?
You know, it has some, has its moments. Not many of them, but it does have some. No.
It
really was derailed by a lot of behind-the-scenes problems, but then also just kind of fails a lot.
That's the one that opens with mountain climbing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yep.
It is. It's a little bit of a mess.
Part 6 is great. I'm a big defender of Undiscovered Country.
I love that one.
I think that's my favorite of the original series movies. So, anyway, you can find Godfather Minute and ABCDTOS and ABCDEVO, the podcast you did where you went through the Devo catalog alphabetically.
Mm-hmm. Also alphabetically.
You can find that wherever you get podcasts, and you can find us here on Monday up with another episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.